If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Tuesday, July 27, 2021. Later on, we'll talk to Jamie Bluma in the 7 o'clock hour about Royals baseball as the Royals beat the White Sox last night and they win their sixth in a row and they move to 43-55. Still 15 games out of first place behind the White Sox, but they are a game and a half ahead of the Minnesota Twins out of the basement. So they are a game and a half ahead of fifth place. As they sit in fourth place, two games behind the Detroit Tigers. So six in a row for the Kansas City Royals. And Jorge Soler hits two more home runs last night, which is amazing, considering how terrible he was in the first half. Despite this very hot stretch that he has gone through, and Hunter Dozier has also turn things up a notch. Just to illustrate how bad they were in the first half, they are still under 200. And it's July 27th. They are both hitting 195 with on-base percentages under 300 and slugging percentages under 400. And we're almost in August. But, hey, like Mike Matheny said, credit Jorge Soler for battling and figuring a way out of his season-long slump. But, man, this is just so Royals, though. Just when they're just absolutely out of it. And make no mistake, they're out of it. I mean, this is great. I like to see them win. It's better to see them win than to see them lose. But even after winning six, I mean, do you guys think they're back in it?
No.
It's if you do, it's okay. If you're an optimist, if you think, all right, they've won six in a row, the starting pitching's figuring things out, Soler's hot now. Mondesi might come back at some point. I mean, can you talk yourself into anything?
No,
because I don't want to be too negative. Because what I'm gonna say is gonna sound too negative. They're 11 and a half games out of the wild card. There. Stop. I need to stop focusing on the division title. They're 11 and a half games out of a wild card spot. Is that doable?
No. I mean, mathematically, yeah, it's doable.
They're behind. So the Rays right now are locked into that top wild card spot, and then the A's. And then you got the Mariners, Yankees, Blue Jays, Indians, Guardians, Angels, Tigers ahead of them. So before I rain on everyone's parade and say they're still out of it, are they? I just want to make sure that.
Yeah, with only 2 months left in the season, essentially, I think that's too much to overcome.
No.
So maybe this is me being the pessimist. This is how I see things happening. They come out of the All-Star break, and we all agree that, and even they have to agree, we're out of it. They ask Mike Matheny what to expect in the second half, and he said, expect a cool story. So far, it's a cool story. They're the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. They've won six in a row. Hey, cool story, bro. That's right. So, but like the pessimist in me says, of course, when they've been just buried and they're totally out of it, of course they're going to go on this winning streak to give people false hope. And more importantly, to give themselves false hope. And they're going to win just enough not to trick themselves into thinking that they can compete for a wild card spot or compete for a playoff spot this year. They're going to win just enough to convince themselves, see, we are close. Next year, if we can just keep Mondi healthy, if we can keep Mondi on the field, these young starting pitchers are now starting to figure things out. They'll all take a step forward, or at least some of them will. Things are starting to come together. Yes, if we just patch a couple of holes, this thing is seaworthy next year. So let's not trade any important pieces away because we are very close. And let's just stick with what we've got, keep rolling, and see if we can finish strong and build some momentum into next year. That's what my fear is. Because I don't think they're close, and I think this is more of a mirage. We've seen them. Hey, well, they had the best record in baseball at one point at the beginning of the season. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were in first place. And then for the bulk of the season, they were a terrible baseball team. Now they have won six in a row, and Jorge Soler is hitting the ball out of the ballpark at an alarming rate. We've seen a good start, a very exciting, excellent start from Daniel Lynch. Chris Bubich has been better. Things are starting to come together just right before the trade deadline. Right? Trade deadline's Friday. Today's Tuesday. Right before the trade deadline. Just enough winning to maybe prevent them from making what a lot of people, including me, think are some necessary moves. So, just enough winning to keep them in the cycle you've talked about, Nate, where they're not... What's the cycle you... I won't put words in your mouth.
Well, this cycle where they, you know, they sign some players to try to be a competitive team, some like rental players to be a competitive team.
Sign Carlos Santana, mm-hmm. Trade for Benintendi.
Yep.
Sign Mike Minor.
Michael A. Taylor. And then lose 90 games and trade away some of the rental players that don't really get you anything in return at the last minute to get some 4A players back. And
are they even going to do that?
Well, I don't know. That's what they've done in the past. I mean, they usually trade one or two bullpen guys, don't they? Feels like they usually trade one or two bullpen guys, get a couple guys back, or they trade Mike Moustakas for Brett Phillips. You know, they...
And Jorge Lopez.
Right. I'm sorry, I forgot about Jorge.
You give the full return before you judge that trade.
So, you know, so the guys that they don't have
back there,
under contract past this year. So, like, I expect them to trade Danny Duffy. He's not under contract.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I'd still be kind of surprised if they rip that Band-Aid off.
Maybe they won't.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'll be wrong on that, but since he's not signed for next year, right? In his contract up this year?
Sure.
So I figured they'll trade him and not get much back. And then we'll do this all over again next year.
I don't like feeling this way. I don't want to be negative when they won six in a row. But it's like, why are you doing this the week of the trade deadline? Why? Because I feel like this is the script we're going to follow. And I want to be wrong. They're going to be red hot until the All-Star break or until the trade deadline. And as soon as the trade deadline passes, they're going to lose like 8 of 10. And they'll be right back to where they were. Like, oh, wow. We'd like to make some trades. Nope. Trade deadline's passed. Well, we gave it a run. We made our push. Doesn't that seem like maybe that's a scenario that's about to happen?
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I feel like
Make me feel better because I don't feel good.
This team's, look, they've already told us before they got hot that they think they're ready to compete next year.
No. They didn't tell us. Ken Rosenthal told us.
Well, Andy Rogers told us and Buster Olney told us. I mean, there's enough people talking to them.
Right.
That are telling us that they, so even
But before, you can lose so much that even like, it almost felt like they were so bad, like, oh, okay, all right. We get it. But then, armed with a 6-game winning streak, they go like, yeah.
See?
Huh?
Hey, maybe they're right. Maybe this team's going to get hot in the second half, and it's going to spur them on to being competitive next year.
Let's let this guy weigh in on this.
What do you want from me?
Well, what do you think?
You think there's any way somebody wants Jorge Soler right now?
Yes. Sure. Why not?
Give him away. Get something. I don't know.
He's going to be a free agent, right?
Right.
The return isn't going to be huge.
No, just take a lottery pick.
But I'm being serious.
A single A lottery pick.
Yes. If I'm a contending team and I need some offense or... I mean, look. There have been crazier trades that when you take a flyer on a guy. I mean, he did lead the league in home runs in 2019. Now, like right now, he's helping the Royals win games. It doesn't do a whole lot because they're not a playoff contender. But if you're desperate for offense, you could talk yourself into that, right?
Right now?
I mean,
yeah.
Before,
absolutely.
Like before,
right
when we talked a couple of weeks ago, like why are they still got him in the lineup? And you said, well, maybe they'll leave him in the lineup long enough where he'll get hot right before the All-Star break, hit some home runs, and a team will be interested. He's done his part. You couldn't be, as far as hitting home runs, you couldn't be hotter right now. And if you're a team that's had an injury or just you need some better production.
Bat off the bench. Some pop.
I don't know what you're going to get, but... this guy compared to what he was 2 or 3 weeks ago? Yeah, I'm taking a flyer. Why not? I could talk myself into that.
Yeah. But to go back to your point, it's like I don't think this is really gonna weigh into them thinking that okay, now this team is that much closer because I think that's what they thought to begin with. So I think what they're doing right now is maybe a little validation, but I think they're so set in their ways that that's what they thought regardless. That
And they could say, well, Mondesi hasn't been healthy. Get that. They're going to keep saying that.
Yeah,
they're going to keep saying that because he's, that's just.
And we'll keep laughing at it.
Well, you don't have to laugh at it because it's right.
Well, I'm laughing.
Based
at
on
it.
What they believe Mondesi is, that's a real reason, right? If you're a Mondesi believer, well, if he would have stayed healthy, boy, this guy changes the whole lineup. And that's true.
Right, but it's fool me once,
well,
shame
kind
on
of.
You. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Well, he makes the lineup better.
Sometimes.
You're the one that was touting his OPS the other day. Brandishing that OPS.
His OPS is the best on the team. It's 1,200. But we've also seen him go through stretches like Jorge Soler went through at the first half.
In general, though. In general, he makes your lineup better. In general, he makes your lineup better.
Nate's not biting.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I wouldn't bite either because when he's in the lineup... That's the big key word when he's
bite, Nate.
No, don't.
Well, I'm just gonna go back and look at his numbers. Like his career numbers are okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So for example, I mean, would you rather have him in the lineup than Jerrod Dyson?
Yep.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because
there's always right now with that there's always a Ryan O'Hearn. Or Jerrod Dyson, or there's a spot in the lineup that could be improved with him in there.
My hope is what Nate kind of alluded to early this year. I think when the first time he...
Soccer?
Not this time when we're talking about...
He did allude to soccer earlier this year, I thought.
Well, yeah.
At least once.
Right.
At least once. Hey, you can't play the alarm. I didn't say anything this time.
They need to move him. Put him in the outfield.
Oh.
They need to move him.
Who, Mondy?
Yeah.
That's a topic for another.
yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that should be in part of the plan.
Okay,
moving into next season.
So I just I like I you don't. I don't want to feel this way. I don't like want to feel apathetic to a 6-game winning streak.
Well,
I'm glad they're winning, but it's like it almost.
It's a mindset, Steven.
The solar thing almost just pisses me off.
Oh, now you're getting
Now you could have started this a month ago, and you'd have had some real good trade value.
No. Better now than never.
That's not better now than never. Yes. If it's not enough to get them traded before the trade deadline.
Well, because honestly, let's cross that bridge when we get there.
That's what's best for the long-term health of this baseball team.
Maybe they can
I'm not talking about, okay, what's best for them to finish, you know, strong.
like strong bull
for the rest of the season. Keep the band together and see how many wins you can squeeze out.
Stop it.
That's fine. But I'm talking about what's best for them to win in 2023 and 2024. So, I mean, is this enough to where you think they're considering re-signing Soler?
Oh, gosh,
no.
I hope not.
You want that?
No.
You're talking about a guy who ain't going to be here next year.
Right.
Are you sold on that?
Yeah, I believe that.
So then, if you got a guy like Duffy, but I could actually see Duffy being traded to the Giants or the Dodgers, and then coming back here and re-signing.
Sure.
I could see that.
Absolutely.
Do you see that with Soler?
No.
Would you want that?
No.
I'd take Duffy back. I'll always take, that's fine.
Right.
You know, but what's best for the Royals, what's the best case for the Royals if they're not going to contend this year is for Soler to play as well as he can before the trade deadline and flip him. But is there enough time? Has he done enough? That's the question. I say, I'd take a flyer on him, but I don't know how much I'm going to give up for him. But if you're a contending team, you got to be at least sniffing around. Hell, I'm doing my part. I'm tweeting at teams, trying to show them highlights, make sure they know what's going on. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, maybe if you're the Royals, and this would be a departure, they have a new owner now, maybe you eat some of the salary. You know, in order to get a better prospect.
All right.
You tell a team, hey, look, because what's he making this year? Making $8 million?
You want someone to you want the Royals to eat this?
Well, I don't know.
Are you shaking your head for? And
he's
going to
make $4 million the rest of the year. Maybe the Royals pay two of it, and they get a better prospect in return. You know, if there's a team out there that's looking to take a flyer but doesn't want to pay all the money. That happens in baseball. The Royals have been unwilling to do that in the David Glass era. Maybe with John Sherman at the helm, they're willing to do it. I don't know.
I like John Sherman.
I do, too.
I'm a John Sherman fan.
Me, too.
That's a tremendous person, philanthropist, and I think he's going to be a hell of an owner, so maybe. Right?
Yes.
Look, of all people, I mean, to your point, of all teams, the Pirates set $1.4 million along with Adam Frazier to the Padres to get the prospect they wanted. Right?
Yep.
I mean, if the Pirates are willing to add money to get the prospect they want, then anything's possible. Yes? I mean, that's exactly they wanted Marcano, the shortstop, and to get him, they had to add $1.4 million. That's worth it, right? If that put them over the top to get what they think is the shortstop of the now or the shortstop of the future for $1.4 million, okay, there. That's exactly right. Pirates did it. They listened to Nate Buchanan with the Royals. I don't know, but the Royals won 6 in a row. Soler's hitting bombs. So Lair's hitting bombs. F car alarms.
That's right.
Jake liked that. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. So we're going to talk to Jamie Bloom about the Royals, Gary Lezak about the weather, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com will join us. Then Gabe DeArmon from PowerMizzou.com will be on the show to talk about Jim Sterk stepping down. And Nate was asking me, what the hell? In the commercial break, And let me just tell you, when an AD leads a football coaching search, and after his search selects the candidate that he wants to hire and presents the hire to the powers that be, and the powers that be say, no, do better, and then other people go out and identify and land the target, then maybe you don't have the same pull in the athletic department as you did before. You were told no when you made a hire. And so the story goes, Sterk hired Blake Anderson to the point where it was, you know, Blake Anderson was telling people at Arkansas State, telling players, I'm going to Mizzou. And something, and we'll get Gabe DeArmond, I'm sure we'll give you more detail, but something funny happened on the way to the forum, right? All right, here's our candidate, Board of Curators, Blake Anderson. No. And then other people identified Eli Drinkwitz. And that was the hire. Which, thank goodness, like as of right now, like I don't know what's going to happen. And like Blake Anderson then got hired by, eventually got hired by Utah State, so another Power 5 school didn't come and lock him up. Whereas Drinkwitz, again, as the story goes, Mizzou stepped in and outbid Arkansas for Drinkwitz, which is, that's a little.
You like saying that, didn't you?
And cherry on top with some nuts. With some nuts in there, I can tell you that. Plenty of them. And so it's hard, you know, you don't, it's, and he was a really good fundraiser and everything else, a very, you know, nice man. But mutually agreed upon, whatever. But he was not, he wasn't going to be there past his contract. You know, he wasn't going to be there another year or two. So it's not unexpected. I mean, Gabe DeArmond's been, if you follow, I know that you have a couple of burner profiles at PowerMizzou.com where you get on there and say, you know, I don't know, what about Kansas? And then something.
Yeah. What about soccer?
Right. Hey, how about soccer in Kansas? What do you think? What do you guys think of that? And so that's, it's not, so it's not a surprise, but the timing is a little bit. Happened quicker than people thought. Does that make sense? Like the fact that he's moving on, that was somewhat expected over the next year or two, but the fact that it's happening now. And guess what? I don't know. I don't know what's what. Like there's some really good candidates, several candidates with Mizzou ties, although I don't know how important that is. You go get the right guy, and if he happens to have Mizzou ties, great. If not, you know, just get the right guy. But is the pool a little bit bigger now? Like if you're a, and I don't know if you're a sitting Big 12 AD with an uncertain future and an SEC school comes calling, say, hey, you may not know if you're going to be in the Big 12, but we're in the SEC. We're pretty sure about that. Want to take a look over here? Wouldn't you take that phone call
if yeah,
you're
probably.
A Big 12 AD? Oh, there ain't no probably. Come on. You don't know what conference you're going to be in.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen in your conference. If you're getting a call from a, like, I'll fill in the blank, from a Big Ten school, you're going to take that call. Well, maybe you wouldn't have before. So, we'll see. Looks like you want to say something. Go ahead.
No, I don't have anything to say. I mean, what am I going to say about it? I don't know. I don't know enough of the details.
Yes, I think Eli Drinkwitz should have tremendous input on this. Sure, that's a great point that you bring up. Yes, keep him happy, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you should keep your young hot shot top gun
swashbuckling
football coach happy? Like, you don't want to, like, hire a guy that he's going to butt heads with, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. You wouldn't want to mess that up.
Jake, keep football happy, yes or no?
100%.
Thank you.
You think
Jake always says, keep football happy.
They need to keep Konzo Martin happy.
That's what I always say.
Keep football happy.
Yep. Football season's up ahead.
I think Konzo will be. I think every time Konzo looks at his contract, he'll be thrilled. And he'll be fine. As long as Xavier Pinson's not in the room, I think Konzo will be fine. Although I bet he'd like to bench him in the final 5 minutes of the game just one more time, just for.
I don't think he would
one more time. No, I don't.
Will you tell him we're on the radio and TV? If he's making comments, turn the mic on.
Right.
He's over there, you know. He's like out the crowd, like, no.
I'm disagreeing.
I take shots at myself because it's funny. I disarm you. You can't make fun of me for things I make fun of myself for.
Right.
Look, all fatty.
I would never say that to your face.
You know? Like when I'm walking down the hall and Nate's doing the
I do it first.
Yeah.
I had somebody like, hey, I'm talking a lot again.
Yeah.
Here I go asking long questions.
Right here, talky talk.
That's
here
right.
Talking again.
Talking soccer.
Won't ever shut up.
By the way, did you guys see this about Simone Biles? Oh, no.
Whoa. Nope.
What? Well, follow it up, please.
She's pulled out of the team competition.
Oh, wow.
The USA.
What happened? Preliminaries were yesterday. And
I don't know. It's all over. Everybody's tweeting about it right now. She just pulled out of the team.
Wow. No, I didn't. To answer your question,
Do you see bad things right before I go to commercial break?
That's, oh, man. Apparently, she injured herself.
Which sucks.
That's awful.
That's the worst. She's the best athlete I've ever seen in my life.
She's probably the best gymnast in the history of the
show. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that's more like that's just like
she's better at her sport than anyone else you've seen at their sport.
Well,
she has moves
in events that are named after her. Like four different
she's invented things that people won't even try.
The bio.
That'd be a fun debate. Who dominates their sport more than she has?
Yeah, I mean,
more than she does.
And I just think, like, in terms of,
she didn't give enough credit for what she does.
You can get your body to do. She can do things a human body's never done before.
Whoa. That's been said about you at your days at Kansas, really. So
that's different.
You made me upset now going to commercial break. I don't like that. I don't like hearing bad news about Simone Biles.
I'm sorry.
Try to regroup after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. So Mr. Mann in there got on his soapbox last week and said how much he's talking about conference realignment and everything else, right?
Yeah, I did.
Do I get to get on my soapbox now?
You can get that soapbox whenever you want, buddy.
So what am I so sick and tired of hearing about, reading about, talking about, everything?
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm done. Who cares anymore? Just play.
Right.
He's going to play. I don't care. I don't care what they're doing to keep him. I don't care what his plan is for 2022 or 2023. I don't care anymore. I don't care. What a effing drama queen.
That's right.
Good.
That's right.
God. I mean, am I wrong here?
No,
like,
no, you're on spot on.
Like, what? How many different things are you gonna bitch about?
Right. No, that was my whole thing to begin with. Like, if you really want out, then you don't go and
do what
you did.
Well, if that was your thing to be at the beginning, like, what's your thing now? You want to hear more of this?
No, I just gave you some. Hey,
right.
This is a story.
No, it's not. No, I'm looking up here.
Right.
I'm looking here. Well, I'm looking on the phone.
He's an MVP, the most important league. I mean, he's not the best player in the league, but he was voted as most valuable player last year.
Right. Great.
No, I just, hey, and today's the day he reports
to
camp.
And he's going to play.
Right.
It's not today, though. It's every day.
With this stupid saga. Today is the day he's either at camp or he's dinged 50 gur.
Great.
So, reports are he landed in Green Bay last night.
That's great.
Yes. I mean, I knew this was going to happen.
It's like all of this drama, all these bells and whistles and everything else, and like Jake said, the end of the story is, he reported to camp on time and he's going to play.
Right.
All this really about nothing.
No, they called his bluff. He wanted out of there. He did not want to go back to Green Bay. They called his bluff. They said, okay, retire.
The only thing, the only positive thing that you could take away from this, and he look, and maybe if I'm in Chicago or Minnesota and in the division with the Packers, maybe I care more. Maybe I don't know. I just can't, I'm not, you know, I don't care. Mahomes is better, I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. Mahomes is happy, he's not, blah. I don't, great, we win.
We do win.
But the only good thing that you'd extract from this, the only positive thing is there's been a good length of time where Broncos fans legitimately thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be their quarterback. Now that, and they really, and you know.
You're mean, man.
I'm not mean.
No. Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
No, hell no, no. I'm not mean. Mean. I'm just telling you how mean. It is.
Screw him.
That's mean.
No, no, it's not. It's Broncos fans. You can't be mean to them.
That's taking joy in somebody else's suffering.
They don't have feelings. Well, you think they took joy in our quarterbacks for years and years?
Yes.
Yeah, they probably
did. There's karma.
And so then it goes back to the draft. The only real way they could justify passing on Justin Fields, the only way, like...
I can't believe they did that.
Okay, we're going to pass on this Justin Fields. But we might get Rodgers, you know.
They got a good corner.
Like, it would have been great. He's going to get his ass lit on fire by Patrick Mahomes. They better have a fire extinguisher on the field. He's going to get lit up.
With, yeah.
It will singe the nostrils. But they really, because I will go and read and you know, some tweets from Broncos fans about, oh, well, you know, hey, they were already formulating deals.
It's great.
Already ready to make an offer.
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out for them?
Not very well, because, you know, hey, the only way we can justify passing on Fields is we get Rodgers. Well, you didn't get Rodgers, so now let's do a rewind on Denver's draft.
Well, they got a real quarterback competition going on there.
I'm just going to, and maybe I can't, and this could really, I mean, I can't believe they passed on that kid.
Right.
I kind of felt that way with a couple of teams, but then he fell to them like, oh, damn it. Oh, they passed on, well, okay then, well, all right. And the Bears like,
trade, yeah, get him.
Cox in the in-house, Cox in the in-house. You're like, don't you let this happen, what happened with Mahomes. Don't you dare. I didn't know the Broncos were going to pass. Right? And they got him. This could
they're like the kid in school is like half asleep at the desk. Wait, what happened?
Oh, he's there, right? Wake up, Bears. So this has the chance to be, and let me tell you something. I like the Bears anyway. I want him to succeed so bad.
Oh yeah,
for right. two reasons. No, number one, and then we can go back. Hey, remember when you thought you could get Aaron Rodgers? And then number two, remember when you passed on Justin Fields? Because you thought you could get Aaron Rodgers, and he turned out to be really good.
Oh, I'm rooting hard for Fields. Like, I wasn't before,
right.
really.
Come
like,
on.
Whatever. But now it's like,
I'm like,
oh,
develop.
Yeah.
Develop. You know? I don't know. And then maybe next year when he's going to leave.
He's going to back up most this year, but still, that's all right.
We'll maybe see. Next year we'll the Denver will trade for him. I don't know. Whatever. That's another year.
I'll trade for Rodgers next year, yeah.
But just for now, it just seems to really to... put a damper on their season.
I don't know. I mean, I could see Tua not succeeding in Miami and then Miami going after Rodgers.
It's a great spin on it.
Yeah, because otherwise the whole saga has been annoying.
Because I had to sit through all these quarterbacks in Denver and all this happening all the time, and I'm like, oh.
Why can't we do that?
And now they're still like, oh. You know, Cadet Fields, we're going to get Rodgers. No, you're not. Now what you have there is a good old fashioned wide open quarterback battle.
Broncos.
That's what you like. What you want heading into training camp. We have no idea who our quarterback's going to be.
Broncos.
But you know what? They're going to battle. Competition breeds success. Let's go. And And on top of that, when you have an offensive-minded head coach like Vic Fangio, I mean, how can you screw up the development of any quarterback, to be honest with you? That guy's like Andy Reid Jr., kind of. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sarcasm.
Here's a fun stat. Maybe not fun, but interesting. From Randy Gisarelli on Twitter. So today the Royals are going for their first 7-game winning streak in 4 years. It'll be their first 7-game winning streak since 2017. How many at least 7-game losing streaks have they had since their last 7-game winning streak? Streak of at least 7 games. Nate is so confused right now, the look on his face.
Say the question again.
Right. What soccer topic were you diving into over there?
I was looking at the Simone Biles.
Yeah, I bet you were. Okay.
So 2017.
Today, the Royals are trying to win their 7th game in a row.
Okay. Right.
That would be their first winning streak of at least 7 games since 2017. July of 2017, right? So it's been 4 years. In that time span, since their last winning streak of at least 7 games, how many losing streaks have they had of at least 7 games?
They've had at least 2 this year, right?
Don't ask me.
I'll say 4 times.
Jake, how many losing streaks of at least 7 games have they had since their last 7-game winning streak?
I will go 7.
They've had 8 7-game losing streaks in that span. So since 2017, they have not had a winning streak of at least 7 games, but they've had 8 losing streaks of at least 7 games. That was even more than you thought, wasn't it, Nate?
Yeah, I said 4.
I don't know what it means. Well, it means they've had a lot of losing streaks.
Well, they've been pretty bad for those 4 years.
I find that interesting. Well, hey.
At least they... hopefully they'll have a 7-game winning streak finally.
Now you're talking. There's the positivity that everyone is grown to love. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues. We're going to talk Royals baseball with Jamie Bluma right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.